Okay, so we'll try to catch up and finish up our discussion that we began 2 weeks ago. I'll try to conclude it tonight, although someone that listens to the Shiurim called me and told me that I could take three sessions. He said the movie Titanic was much longer than regular movies, so the Shiur could also exceed normal. So I said I have to take a vote, but only people that come get a vote. People that listen, they... So I wanted to discuss the... Continue discussing the Guna Shaila, and I mentioned last time that I wanted to do so by exploring a certain kula, which was often used by many of the poskim, but probably most prominently by Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan Spector, who became known. He was obviously the Gadol Hadar of his time, and he really led European Jewry, Russian Jewry, in every dimension. He took care of the yeshivas. He fought for the yeshivas when the government was trying to shut them down, both the Mir yeshiva and the Volozhiner yeshiva, some successfully, some not successfully. And he was really the address for many of the issues facing Russian and really all of European Jewry. And one of his major accomplishments, I should say, was that he was the address for Rachman al-Islam for the Agunas. As I mentioned last week, that at his Levaya, they quoted the Pasuk of Benois Yisrael Shaul Bachena. Basically now, who are Benois Yisrael, Rachman al-Islam, who are they going to turn to? We used to have a Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan to turn to, and a real Gadol Adar, someone from, was Kadosh Mirechim, who was married at the age of 13, and very quickly rose to fame and godless, and started leading his community and then the entire Jewish community at a very young age. And he really was a father for Klal Yisrael during that time. So I want to discuss a kula which he would often, most of his tshuvas, I think I mentioned last time that in his first volume of tshuvas in Ein Yitzchak, 70 of them are Aguna Shailas, and most of them revolve around a specific concept which he didn't introduce. It was already in existence before him, as we'll discuss the history, but he really is the one who put it on the map, and much of the tshuvas are discussing this particular kula and when it applies and when it does not apply. So just to catch up from what we were saying, what we learned last time, basically there is a question on a deraisa level and a question on a derabanan level. When a boat goes down, Rachman al-Islam, a boat sinks, and there's a question of, we don't know who's alive and who is dead. So, mi d'oraisa, we have a question, is the wife of the people that were on that boat, and supposedly, allegedly, they drowned. Is she an eshes ish mi d'oraisa? Do we have to assume she's an eshes ish mi d'oraisa, or an eshes ish mi d'rabbana? So the Gemara told us in Maseches Gittin that if you did not see the person actually drowning, so then even if you saw that the ship was wrecked, it's not good enough, and unless you saw he himself actually go underwater, you have to assume that he's still alive. Who knows, maybe he caught onto a piece of wood and was brought to comfort. So she's an Eshes Ish on a Torah level, and there's really nothing to discuss. The only reason our conversation gets off the ground is because Reb Kiva Eger comes, this is quoted in Pesachei Tshuva, and says that whole discussion in the Gemara in Gittin is referring to a ship which was torn apart, which is lost at sea and seems to be broken, a Svina Shenevda, but that's only when they used to travel near the land. So it was very likely, even if a ship would go down, it's very likely that a person could have made it to the ground. But now, since the normal way for these boats, these huge, massive ships, is to travel in the middle of the ocean, and if it goes down, there's no possible way for anyone to be able to last till they get to land. So Rabbi Kiva Eger says, on a deraisa level, we have nothing to be nervous about. On a deraisa level, we could assume this person is not an Eshes Ish, and that the husband that was on the boat did go down. And the problem is that now Chazal came and made a Chumrah Midirabanan. What was the Chumrah Midirabanan? They said, even though, generally speaking, the rov is, the majority of people that are on the boat probably did not make it if the ship was wrecked, still, Midirabanan, we're going to be Machmir unless you see that the person actually drowned. So the Gemara says there are two types of bodies of water. There's Mayim She'ein Lahem Sof and Mayim She'yesh Lahem Sof. Mayim She'yesh Lahem Sof, Rashi told us, means that you could see the circumference of land around the body of water. If that's the case, so you know whether the person came out or whether he didn't come out. You were watching. If he didn't come out, obviously he drowned, and you could go ahead and she's allowed to get married. But if it's an ocean and it's Mayim She'ein Lahem Sof, you can't see the land on the side of the body of water. So you have no idea if this guy came out or not. So even if midaraisa, we could assume the majority of people would have died in this situation. And midaraisa, she is not an ishes ish. Midarabanan Chazal came and said a big, big chumrah. Chumrah being that if you did not see the person drown, and it's mayim she'ein lahem sof, you can't see the circumference of land around the body of water, you have to assume he is still alive, and Rachmana Litzlan, she becomes an aguna, and she is an eshes ish. Now the question really begs itself. The first question a person must ask himself in the sugya is that we know a simple principle throughout Shas, mishum aguna akilu barabanan. We always look for kulas to be mako on agunas, and that's going to be really the premise upon which all these tshuvas that we will be looking at tonight is built upon. We will go stand on our head to make Timater an Aguna. We know Aguna is a tragedy. It's a tragic story which has taken place throughout Jewish history. Why over here a Chazal coming and saying, Midaraisa, we could assume he died. But we're going to be Machmer Midirabanan. So this is a discussion that takes place in the postgame. I'll present to you one very fascinating, whether it tickles your fancy or not, each person will have to decide, but it's very creative. Temperature does. We'll get to temperature. We'll get to temperature. Temperature does. But now we're just discussing, at first, why would Chazal make such a chumrah? And he suggests the Divrei Yecheskel, the Shin of Arav, in his tshuvas about these type of things, in one tshuva about this, he suggests as follows. He says, it's an interesting concept. Again, it's a deep concept, something which I don't want to spend too much time on. I just wanted to bring it to your attention. He said, if Chazal were to paskin, that as a ship goes down, the woman is able to get married. In essence, Chazal are paskening that by definition, if a ship goes down, the person dies. He says, kaviyachol, that would leave no room for the Rabbanu Shalom to create a miracle. If we want to leave room for the Rabbanu Shalom to create a miracle, we have to leave open that possibility. A ship goes down, perhaps the person is going to stay alive. We're not paskening he's dead or alive. It could be he's alive, could be he's dead. Because of that, very interesting, creative, again, from the Shin of Arav, he says, that's why Chazal made this extra chumrah. But be that as it may, whether you buy that or not, at the end of the day, Chazal made a chumrah. They were concerned about mayim she... Mayim she... What?
This concept that you leave for Hashem, where does it end?
That's a good question. A good question. Where does it begin? Where did he get it from? So, again, this is really a separate shir. I was so fascinated that by the suggestion, so I wanted to mention it to you. But the primary goal of our shir tonight is to discuss how do we relate to these situations. How does a posek, how does a gadol hador, how does he approach such a shayla, Rachman al-Islan, when he is presented with it. So let's begin. I'll paraphrase the Gemara for you. We don't have time to read through the Gemara again, but basically the Gemara just said, as I mentioned to you before, the Gemara makes a distinction in Mar Malkum number 10 in Maseches Yevamos between Mayim Sheyesh Lahem Sof and Mayim She'ein Lahem Sof. If you could see the land around the body of water, then you know the person has not come out, and therefore you could paskin that he is dead. If you can't see the land around the entire body of water, then you have to assume that he is alive. Then the Gemara...
Counterintuitive to what you said before
when it's close to the thing. Because we're looking at two separate things. On one, we're looking whether it's possible for him to get out. On the other, we're looking at, we're assuming it's possible for him to get out. We're looking at whether you know whether he got out. So if I can't see around, so then I have to assume that there's an area that he got out where I just didn't see it. So one, we're looking from the perspective of whether the person was able to get out. The other, we're saying, no, we can assume that he was able to get out because he was able to.
So if it's England Sophie, there is no way to get out.
No, because he has on the one. You have inland sof means that you could see the entire circumference. But let's say there's land on all sorts of different sides, but you can't. There's a horizon over there, so it could be it's possible he got up. But there are places where I'm not able to see. There are places of land where I'm not able to see, and therefore we have a concern. Again, it's a far concern. It's a concern only midrabanan, not the araisa. But there is a concern that he got out and I missed it. I didn't see him coming out. So the Gemara makes this distinction. Then the Gemara says, what about a tsurba mirabanan? What about a very famous Talmud Chacham? Let's say he gets lost at sea. could we assume that his wife is mutter? Now, obviously, Chazal are not favoring the wives of Talmidei Chacham, and why would you say Talmud Chacham is different than anyone else? The Gemara is saying, as the Rishonim explain, that since this person is very well known, he's very famous, so if he comes, all of a sudden pops into a certain town, Yesh Lem Kol, there's going to be a big news headline. So all of a sudden, the Gadol Ador shows up and he's at this town, so everyone will know about it. From the fact that that did not take place, and we didn't get word that this Tzurban Rebbonin was found in some far out land, that is a proof that he is not alive. So the Gemara suggests perhaps when it comes to a very famous person, there's more of an indication that he is not alive and we should be make on his wife. And the Gemara ends up rejecting it. Take a look at Tosfos, Mar Malkam number 14. Says Tosfos, Velohi, Lo Shnat Tzurban Rebbonin. The Gemara rejects it. It doesn't matter how famous the person is, no matter what, if it's Mayim She'ein Lahem Sof, you have to assume that he's still alive. Says Tosis. Ve'af agav dirubayhu tzurbin rebonon isolik kala islay. Says Tosis. And even though this person who's a Talmud Chacham, there's another rov. There's one rov that most people that are on a shipwreck, they die. There's another rov that if this person, this famous, popped up somewhere, we would know about it. So you have two rovs saying that he really did die. Says Tosis. It's still not enough. We still have to be machmer. We say he might be alive and she cannot get remarried. And that, in fact, is how we paskin. If you take a look at Maror Malkam number 15 in Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Ishus Simen Yud Zayin. Now take a look at the Maharami Rutenberg, Maror Malkam number 16, where he says as follows: Al machi egavna lo azlinan basarov. You see from this Gemara that we don't make this distinction between a Talmud Chacham, a famous Talmud Chacham, and everyone else. Basically, what's the Gemara telling us? We don't go basarov. So even if you have a very creative idea and tell me, in this case, there's a tremendous rov. There is no chance. Rahman al-Islam, we had this Shaila when it came to the World Trade Center. So a person says, there's such a rov. What are the chances that this person is still alive and he wasn't able to get it? He didn't have any cell phones there. What are the chances? So there's a tremendous rov against it. But says Tosis, by the fact that the Gemara, says the Maharami Rutenberg, by the fact that the Gemara doesn't make such distinctions, it says, no matter how famous the person is, you see that we don't, and there was a rove, we don't care about roves. A rove is not a good enough in this case to tell us that the person probably died.
But in the World Trade Center, if three people came out alive, you would see it on the news. It's not somebody that would be hidden.
Okay.
Or cross
okay, so they countered, that is correct, and we'll see that is raised as a possible heter. The counter to that is that what David mentioned to me last week, that there are people that they, for whatever reason, they don't like their lives, and they use that as opportunity to run. There were stories like that at the World Trade Center. So the question is, how much could we assume? It's not an impossibility that the person just decided to escape his life and say, you know what?
Not everybody at 9/11 who survived was in the news. I mean, I know people who survived.
So we'll have to discuss. We'll have to discuss. So take a look at Maror Malkam number. So it seems very simple. It seems very simple that even no matter how logical it is to say that this person died, and no matter how many roves you have, the Gemara says you don't go with rove unless you saw him drown and you saw him actually go under, or you saw the entire circumference and you know he did not get out. So the woman is going to remain an eshes ish. Now, where does everything begin to be put in question? Take a look at the Mordechai Maror Malkam number 17, where he quotes Rabbi Eliezer Mivardon, B'tshuvas HaRabbi Eliezer Mivardon, and upon this Mordechai, the entire premise of tshuvas about agunas is built. B'tshuvas HaRabbi Eliezer Mivardon, Dikdek, Mideka Omer, Mayim She'en Lahem Sof. Ishto asura, viloka amar asura la'olam. Sometimes the Gemara will use the phraseology of asura la'olam. Why did the Gemara say asura la'olam? It just said, if he drowned in mayim shein la himself, asura. Says Rabbi Elazar Mivardon, one of the Rishonim, it should have said asura la'olam. Why didn't it say asura la'olam? Because she's not asura forever. You have to give it time. But there could be a situation where after such a long amount of period of time, if he still has not shown up, by now we say, okay, he's probably not around. That is a tremendous chiddush of Elazar Mivardon. You could go with umdanas, you could go with, even though you don't have clear proof, you have no edim telling you that he drowned, but you give it enough time, so you go with enough of an indication, an umdana, it's circumstantial evidence that the person probably has died, and therefore you could get remarried, a person could get remarried based on that. Rabbi Elazar Mivardon marshals, where does he see this? So one place he sees this is that it doesn't say asura la'olam. The other place he marshals evidence from is not only does not say Asura L'Olam, but the Gemara has a strong suggestion to matter someone who's married to a Talmud Chacham, a Tzur b'Rabbanan. Why? Because you would hear about it if he made it alive. Esr v'lazim yivardan. When would you hear about it? How much time are you going to give it to? You're going to say she's mutter right away? Maybe he didn't get out yet. A week? 2 weeks? The Gemara never said a shir. So says Rav Elazar ben Yehudon, the Gemara entertained that a Talmud Chacham's wife would be mutter, right? Because everyone's going to hear about it. But how much time do you give it for everyone to hear about it? So obviously the Gemara is assuming you have to use your common sense. You have to know how much time around do we give it that we could be certain that he's not alive. Just like the Gemara was saying, use your common sense when it comes to a Talmud Chacham, suggests Rav Elazar ben Yehudon, quoted in the Mordechai, the Gemara is assuming even with a regular person, you use your common sense. It's not a surah la'olam, but you have to give it time. You give it time, enough time where everyone, the kol chachmei hadar, he says, could imagine that there's no possibility that this guy is still alive, so then you could get remarried. So, a very nice shot by Reb Elazar ben Yehudon, but we're not out of the water yet because it's a single shita, and we don't necessarily paskin like him. Take a look at the Chumas Hadeshen. Now, the Chumas Hadeshen is using this Reb Elazar ben Yehudon and Mordechai, which will help us, because we see that he does reckon with it. The problem is that he's talking about a situation that is bidyevet. We need to use this lichatchila. We want to say she could get married lichatchila. He's using it in a situation where she already got married, and we want to say, okay, you could stay married. Take a look, Chumas Hadeshen, Mar Malkum number 18. Says the Chumas Hadeshen, Muchach mihalsim b'tshuva b'mordechai. Take a look at Mordechai, da azlinan basar umdana didaite. You could use circumstantial evidence. And umdana, if he didn't come back yet, he's probably dead. Va'afla gavdim masik tamudim lo shnat surud b'rabanan lo shnat inish da'alma. It even though at the end of the day, the Talmud rejects, the Gemara rejects this concept of Tzurba Mirabanan, Hainu Lichatchila, that's only on Lichatchila level, Kedemasik, Divyevit in Lichatchila lo. But he says, I could be somech on this sheet of Rav Elazar ben Yehudon in a case Bidiyevit. So, again, not going to help us necessarily because Bidiyevit is much more makel in general. We're trying to matter an aguna even lichatchila, even before she gets married. But by the fact you see that Tshumas Hadeshen, one of the Gedolei Rishonim upon who the Piske Halacha of Ashkenaz is normally based, he's already dealing with this Shita, so it means that there's some light at the end of the tunnel and we could work with this Shita. Now I want to introduce you to a big debate between, we're not going to spend too much time on it, but there's a tremendous debate between the Mabit and Rabbi Yosef Karo, the Shulchan Aruch. This is a big fight they had. They had a few big machloks. And we know about the big discussion about the smicha, to reinvent smicha, where they happened to be on the same side. But they were contemporaries. They were both in Eretz Yisrael. And they went back. They had a lot of correspondence between the two of them. Now, one of their big, big machloksim was about a specific aguna. A specific aguna that came to the Mabit, and the Mabit said, I think I have a kula to be somechan. And we'll read what the kula is. But he says, as you will see very frequently in tshuvas about agunas, maybe even more frequently than not, I'm trying to trying to get a pulse on this, because many, many of the tshuvas that I've read, the poskim come up with a heter, and they end off the last, and it looks very good, they end off the last line, but I need two other people to sign on to this. I'm not taking this on my own. So the Mabit did the same thing already early in the time of Rabbi Yosef Karo. He said, I think that we could be Mekel, kulas, which will be helpful for our situation at hand, the case of the Titanic. But at the end he says, but I need you to find some other rabbis to be Soymech Hameh. I can't take this on my own. So let's take a look at the Mabit, at the case, at what happened. I'm going to read it fairly quickly, but it's basically just a question of, like we've been discussing, question of a Sfina, a ship that was lost at sea. Maisa Shahaya Bekama Yehudim, Mar Malkum number 19. Maisa Shahaya Bekama Yehudim Sha'olu Besfina Gadol. They went on a big ship. Shayu Bokama Meos Yishma'elim, with many, many Arabs. Verova Anoshim Haschores Hayu Becheder HaTachton. They were on the bottom level of the ship, Shalasvina, right? Shehi Tachas Hamakom Shedorsim Bo Balei Hasvina Mamalachim, and the people running the ship, they were the ones that were on the top level. Ein Makom Pasuach. Pay attention to the details. Ein Makom Pasuach El Pesach Echa Bedelos. There was only one entrance and exit from this area of the ship. Shemimena Yardim VaOlim Lamala Kishadelos Pasuach VaYisar. And there's a lot of turbulence and there's a lot of turmoil. There's a big, a lot of waves, a big storm. Gadol b'yam b'pesef b'son v'nepcha hasvina t'aderech tzid. It was shipwrecked. It fell on it. It was capsized. It turned on its side. Ha'echad v'eschilu hamayim li'ikones. And the water started entering the ship. V'hayu gimel odal yehudim imtzaz yishme'en l'mala. U'kesherau she'asvina harisa nitbeis. When they saw that the ship was going down, paschal ha'yehudim ha'pesach she'alcheda v'dibru la'achem she'becheda. They would scream to their other, the brother, Jewish brethren on top. V'hem abochim u'mischaninim l'kem. They were crying out, davening to their Ribbono Shalom, umizvadim bebechia zeh im zeh, ki ha'yuroz ha'moves bechadrer, v'umiyah nepcha ha'svina, it turned over, and that was it. So he was asked, the Ma'bit was asked about this question, turning over, go to the next page, where one of these people comes back to the Ma'bit, one of the people not on the bottom level, on the top level, that had seen, had witnessed what happened, and he says, could we get a kula, could we get a heter, for this, for the wife of this person to be, to get remarried. So the Ma'bit says two interesting things which are going to be very relevant to Halacha Levaisa. Take a look at the bold face. V'nire shenucha lahorais heter. I think I could come up with a kula. B'nishoseim shel elu, with the wives of these people that were lost at sea. Shayutoch hacheder v'lo havu b'chlal man demori b'mayim she'en lehem sof. Commotion nefarish. Va'afilu b'mayim she'en lev sof kosev ha-Mordechai b'tshuva ha-Rab Eliezer mi-Vardon dik-dek mi-dika amar mayim she'en lev sof ishta asura v'lo ka'amar asu la'olam shema de'lav la'olam ka'amar v'chein nira she'toloi b'rabboise. So the first thing he brings is we have Rab Eliezer mi-Vardon. This old Rab Eliezer mi-Vardon that says it's not so simple. It's not asura la'olam. It just means you have to give it time and wait for an umdana, which is clear. If he hasn't come back until now, he's not coming back, and we could assume he has died, and she could get remarried. So that's the first thing he brings, and you see he's willing to be somich on it, halacha l'maisa. Then he brings something else fascinating, which was used in the case of the Titanic. Skip down to the next bold face. V'tanya nami hachi b'hai lishna b'braisa b'gemara d'mashma d'haynu kishir re'uhu shenofal l'mayim she'en lehem sof. Aval heicha shelo re'uhu shenofal ela shero'u shebo'u hamayim alav ki hacha shayutoch hacheder v'nichnesu hamayim b'socha lo have b'chlal nofal l'mayim she'en lehem sof. Says the Ma'bit, the whole Gemara was, you're misunderstanding the Gemara. The Gemara was talking about where he fell into the water. Then there's a concern. Perhaps he was able to make it to shore. But when the water came into the boat, that's a different discussion. So that, together with this shita of Elazar Mivardon, saying that if there's an umdana, you could be meka. And the fact that the water entered the boat, not the people entering the water, says the Ma'bit, I'm willing to be meka, but I need two other people to sign on. So this was used in the Titanic. As we mentioned, the details of the Titanic, we read the article last week. That was a case of where it was clear that the water had, they had major holes on the bottom, and the water had first come into the ship before.
Many people jumped.
That's a good point. That's a good point. So over here, that's a very good point.
Over here,
there was only one entry.
Only the people running the boat.
Right. Right, that's a good point. That's a good point of distinction. Perhaps that would make a difference. I did see people quote this Ma'bit in that conversation, but you're right. It could be they addressed this question, but you're right. The case of the Ma'bit, we knew for certain that there was no jumping. They were stuck in this room, and there are witnesses for that. When they came to the Titanic, perhaps that was not the case. But I just want to give you some of the flavor of the tshuvas which are written back and forth between the Ma'bit, the raging fight between the Ma'bit and Rabbi Yosef Karo about this aguna. So the Ma'bit presents this kula, and he says, go find, tells the, I believe he was speaking to the person who wanted to marry the Eish HaSish, not the actual person who, not the widow, but the person, the prospective chassan, who wanted to marry her. So I believe that's who he was dealing with. So he says, go around Europe, try to find some signatures, two other signatures, and I'm willing to be mekel. So says the Ma'bit, take a look at the next bold face. Acher shtei shanim, after 2 years, sheshtarti isha zu, I matered her, v'tilisi hatorah lemaisa ad she yichsimu beiz hachachamim mibalei hara. I said, you have to find two other rabbis. So he goes on to explain, this person went across Europe, and no one was willing to sign on to it. He couldn't get a sign. No one was willing to sign on. So maybe he got one person here, but no one was willing to do it. So he comes back to me, and I say, if no one's willing to sign on, I'm not willing to do it myself. So this guy had a better idea. You know what? It's always better to ask for forgiveness and permission. If I just go ahead with the marriage, they'll be fine with it. V'kacha havla. He went ahead with the marriage, and he comes back to Ma'bit, and Ma'bit says, okay, now that he's married, I'm not going to, again, he thought it would be makel, but to be make them get divorced, he was willing to be mekel. Rabbi Yosef Karo got word of this. Ooh, he was not happy. He spoke out very strongly against the Mabit and against anyone who would even dare think about signing on such a kula. That word went out. Rabbi Yosef Karo said, Mabit's mattering in Eishes Ish. How could it be? And a big fight broke out between the Mabit and Rabbi Yosef Karo. Akedei kach, that if you take a look at the Tshuvas Mabit, there are a number of Tshuvas Mabit just on this story. The Tshuva of the Mabit, the final Tshuva of the Mabit, I put it down here for you, take a look at it. The Mabit says to Rabbi Yosef Karo, he says, you know, you really have to ask Mechila from me in public. He says, but I'm not Makbit on my cover, but you are saying that I'm being Somech on Rabbi Lezer Mivardan. He's one of the Rishonim. And you're just going to reject it and pretend like it's not here, pretend like it's not part of the Psak Halacha. You have to ask Mechila from me. I'm not Moichel you until you get up before Hesse and you ask Mechila from me and from Rabbi Eliezer Mivardan. Let's try to find it in this long tshuva. Take a look at the final boldface. Amasha Horesi Heter Beisha Guna Zeshonim. Ra'el Le'el, in the previous tshuvas that I wrote about it. Ve'vesi raya ki yesh litzade du l'chapes heter al gunos mi divir Rebelazer mi vardon. And I brought a raya from Rebelazer mi vardon. And he goes through the whole debate as the how much Rabbi Yosef Karo was against it, and Rabbi Yosef Karo really chased after him, trying to convince him not to do it, and making sure that no one else would sign on to it. Skip to the end of the tshuva, six lines up, where I have the three dots, where he says as follows: Va'af ki hu lo haya yodea zeh lo haya min haro'oi lachloik al divreim. It's inappropriate that Rabbi Yosef Karo would just come out screaming against these rishonim that I mentioned. Kevin shahaya yodua shehem chachamim kadmoinim. We're talking about rishonim over here. How can you just dismiss them? Yiyu mashiyu koshekim lichtov al divreim mashakosiv, to go out and print and write against them. Eini yodei me'ayin yimtze hetelizeh. I don't know where he got a heter. He's nervous about me permitting Eishes Ish. I'm nervous about him. How could you write against the Rishonim so strongly the way he wrote about them? Where is his heter? She'im ha'yamevin divrayim. If he would understand them, if he know how to learn, says the Mabit. Lo haya makshinan aleh. They wouldn't ask anything on them. Masha hiksha. Kemo she'yira ha'ma'ayin. Anyone who looks at it with a critical eye will understand that I'm correct. Kemo she'kasavti yozef. And noach lo lokum b'soch kal ve'eta. He should get up in front of the entire community, lishol mehem mechila, to ask them for forgiveness, bedover asher zida ve'ala chachamim, that he slandered the chachma Yisrael. So you go on to look at the long, this very strong language that they use. But it's a very interesting, very strong debate between Rabbi Yosef Karo, very interesting piece of history. And again, it was based on this question: could we be somech on this Shita of Rabbi Lazar Mivardan, to say if there's circumstantial evidence, we don't have any Edim, we don't have any 100% proof, circumstantial evidence that the guy has not come back yet, and the chances of him being able to make it, because we know that the water came in over here, could we be Mekel and assume that he for sure died? The Mabit said yes. The Rabbi Yosef Karo said, no, I'm still not willing to be Soymechan. Fast forward a couple of hundred years, now we get to the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer was dealing with a case of the Aguna as well, already far away from the time, the Machlokis of the Mabit and Rabbi Yosef Karo. Let's take a look at what the Chassam Sofer says, Maramakum number 20. The Chassam Sofer writes, Michtav Anam Higieni, you're asking me about a case of an Aguna. Skip over to the next page, just to see, for time purposes, the big Chiddush of the Chassam Sofer. In the boldface, V'yadua nishtanu hazmanim. He brings Rabbi Lazar Mivardan, and he says, even though everyone has rejected it, we know that the facts are not the same anymore. Now we have Facebook. Now we have Google. Now we have all these ways of interacting. So Chassam Sofer didn't have that. But what did he have? He had a mail system. People were already setting up this regular mail system. So he says, V'yadua nishtanu hazmanim b'inyin zeh mima shahayu b'yimeim. It's different than it was in the days of yore. Sha'ata kaviyah be'dayar. Now we have a system of mail. We have Federal Express. Kaviyah be'dayar b'masa b'chol medinas. And every civilized country has a system of sending mail. How you do it. V'afilu me'artzas turgrama me'giyah haksav v'leinu b'zman katzer me'oz. It says, I'm sorry, it could be in the times of the Chaber. He was still not willing to be Soymech on Rabbi Lazar Mivardan. But now you're going to tell me that the guy floated up somewhere on some unknown island somewhere, and we haven't heard that he has no way of contacting his family? Impossible, says Chassam Sofer. And again, this together with some other sniff in Lahako, he's willing to be Mekel. So you see already that throughout history it's becoming more and more of a valid Shita to be able to be Soymech on this opinion, that if he hasn't come back in due time, And it's really strange. He has many opportunities to contact his family and contact his old community. He hasn't come back. We'll be willing to be mekel. But again, this alone, poskim would not be willing to be so mechan until we come to the tremendous chiddush of Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Chaim Volozhiner we don't know many tshuvas. We have a few tshuvas of Reb Chaim Volozhiner. He's known as the Avi HaYeshivas. His biography is called Avi HaYeshivas. He founded the Volozhiner Yeshiva, and he's normally known as the father of the Yeshiva movement. We don't necessarily always know him as the Poisek. But it happens to be that Reb Chaim Volozhiner penned many tshuvas, a few tshuvas that we have. We don't have all of them. And few of them are about Agunas. Why do we have so many tshuvas from Reb Chaim Volozhiner about Agunas? Again, we don't have so many, but relative to what we have from him, there are a few from Agunas. And the reason is as follows. You take Reb Chaim Volozhiner's biography, they bring the following story. There was an Aguna that came to the Beis Din in Vilna. Now, Vilna was the most prestigious Beis Din at the time. And they come to the Beis Din of Vilna, and the Vilna Beis Din sits on it for a few days, perhaps for a few weeks, and they come up with a kula. They're willing to be mekel. They say, we think that there's what to be somechan, she could get remarried. But again, we all know the catch when it comes to agunas. We're not willing to do it until Reb Chaim Volozhiner is willing to sign on. So they send someone to Volozhin, from Vilna to Volozhin, to present the case to Reb Chaim Volozhiner with their kula, why they think they could be mekel. Reb Chaim Volozhiner takes the psak and goes into his room. The messenger writes, this is brought down in Avi HaYeshivos, the biography, which all the stories there are very verifiable and have very good lineage. The person, the messenger who was sent to bring the psak to Reb Chaim Volozhiner, gives Reb Chaim Volozhiner, he goes into his private quarters, into his office, and he hears him say as follows. He tells the Rabbanu Shalom, he says, Rabbanu Shalom, the kula is a good kula. Al pidin, she should be able to get married. But I can't sign this. I feel there's something wrong with this. I can't sign it. And there's pushback. If it's a good kula, so sign on it. We're just waiting for your signature. He said, I'm not willing to sign on it. There's something bothering me. I'm not willing to sign it. And as we know, the story ends. V'kachava, a few days later, the husband shows up. On that moment, the Vilna Beis Din decided, we will never paskin a shaila of agunos until Reb Chaim Volozhiner is willing to sign on it. If you take a look, I took a piece, an excerpt from a previous tshuva, not the tshuva that we'll be reading, where he indicates this, he expresses this, he hints to this. He says, now that the ol hahora was placed on me, and the Beis Din decided that they're not going to matter an aguna without my consent, he says, I don't want to be doing this. I don't know. He felt uncomfortable doing it. But what can I do? The only way that we'll be able to be matter naguna, they said, is if I sign it, and that's why he goes on to write the tshuva. So what was his tremendous chiddush, which was picked up later by Rabbi Yitzchak Yochanan and expounded upon? The tshuva, the chiddush is as follows. That yes, it's true, when it comes to an aguna, we don't go with a rove. If we went with a rove, so then any shipwreck, we could assume, most people don't survive a shipwreck, we could assume that he's dead. So clearly, on the fact that the Gemara did not go with the Rov, the Gemara said, we have to assume he's still alive, we don't follow Rov. Comes Reb Chaim Volozhiner and says, but Trey Rubi, two Rovs, that's enough to matter Naguna. So from this moment on, from the time Reb Chaim Volozhiner wrote this, the goal of every posek presented with an Aguna Shaila was to find two Rovs. Now the major question which you ask me, is how could Reb Chaim Volozhiner say this? We just proved from the Gemara that it's not the case. The Gemara suggested, perhaps a very famous person, where it will be widely known that he's saved. Perhaps, if we don't know, we could assume that he's dead, because there's another rove, and the Gemara rejected it. The Gemara said, no, even with that additional rove, even though he's very famous, and it's likely that we would know about it, still, we're not going to go with it. So two roves are there. You have the rove that most people die in such a situation. The rove that most people of this stature, if they were alive, we would have heard about it. And still, the Gemara is not willing to be samech on it. So how could Reb Chaim Volozhiner come and say, two roves is enough to matter an aguna? It's simply not true. You see from the Gemara, as Tosis pointed out, it's simply not true. And here's where Reb Yitzchak Yochanan comes and answers the day. He saves the day. What he says is as follows. He says, it's true. If you have two roves, two separate indications that in majority of cases, this person would not have made it. So that's enough to matter an aguna. But there's a catch. The two roves have to come at the same time. If the one rove came first, And only a few weeks later, we know about the second Rove. Says Rabbi Yisrael Chanan, it's not good enough. So yes, it's true. When the ship was wrecked, there was one Rove. Most people don't make it. We have to be machmer on that. We paskin l'chumrah. The Rove is not enough. Now, 3 weeks later, you tell me he's a very famous guy. If we still haven't heard from him in 3 weeks, we could assume he's dead. That's another Rove. Yes, it's another Rove, but we already paskin the first Rove. We already decided on the first Rove. You can't combine two Roves when you already decided on one 3 weeks ago, and now you want to decide on the second one, says Yisrael Chanan. That's why the Gemara rejected it. But if you have two Roves coming together at the same exact time, so then you could be so mechanim. So take a look at a tshuva from the Maharsham. The Maharsham writes in Maharmakam number 26, I brought you numerous tshuvas from Yitzchak Chanan. You could take a look at them. Each one is more fascinating than the next. And you see, historically, what a center for halacha he was. He got a Gunas Shailas from America. He got a Gunas Shailas from Africa. He got a Gunas Shailas from London. Of course, from throughout Europe. You take a look at each one of these tshuvas, and the entire question, again, each one of these tshuvas is tens of pages, without exaggeration, tens of pages long. I tried to cut out the piece of where he points out, I'm looking for two roves. I need two separate indications that I could say, two separate majorities, saying that there's a majority of people in this case would have died because of this reason, and the majority of these people in this case would have died because of a second reason. If I have two of those majorities, then I'm good to go. But they have to come at the same time. So you take a look at the tshuva of the Maharsham in Maharmakam number 26, and he uses something which Heshi mentioned before, which was used in the case of the Titanic as well, where the Maharsham says, well, now that I know I only need to find two roves, the first rove is easy. Any shipwreck, there's a rove. Most people in those situations are going to die. Again, it could be different if they're very well equipped. We mentioned last week the Titanic was not nearly well equipped. They thought they were unbreakable. But if they're well equipped, so then a person could argue. If they have enough of those life-saving boats, a person can argue. But a general case, there's one rove that most people in this situation are not going to make it. There's a second rove, says the Maharsham. Go ask the doctors, how cold was this water? The doctor said, as we read from the article, a person couldn't have lasted for more than 15 minutes in this. They would die from... There you have two roves right away, and there's what to be somechan. That's what the Maharsham explains in this tshuva, in the specific case that he was dealing with. But every single situation of aguna, since the time of Yitzchak Elchanan, this is the approach. We look for a situation to find two separate indicators that we could say the majority of people in this situation would have died for two separate reasons. One, because in the middle of the water, there's no way to get out of it. A second, either because of the temperature or because at this point, there's no way that we would not have heard of it. Meaning, in the case of Rabbi Lazar Mivardon, the case of Chassam Sofer, after 3 weeks of not getting mail, then we know already. But what about now? Now a person has a cell phone, they don't send a text, a person doesn't send an email. So right away, if we don't hear from them, already within a few hours, we might start getting nervous, we might start having indication. That's something which the people in charge of the 9/11, the Guna situation, that's what they had to deal with. They had to deal with looking at different cameras from the subway system, from the MTA, trying to follow a person. So they didn't see directly that this person was killed, but if they have enough circumstantial evidence that it's considered a rove, that the majority of people in this situation certainly would have died, so then we have two roves and we have what to be somach. You take a look at the last Maharmakam, it's a tshuva from Moshe Feinstein, bringing it even more current, where he's talking about an airplane. Be'inyan edus arkal sha'ala ba'airplane, ve'airplane nafla ba'hayam, the airplane fell in the water. Ach yesh ladun mishum sh'nafla mayim she'en lehem sof. You could be mekel. The yesh kan trei rubi. Again, every posek, you go to the trei rubi. I need two separate roves, which are totally independent of each other. Trei rubi, de rubu me elu noflame airplane. What are the two roves? Let's see if we can figure it out. First of all, rove of the people that are in a plane clash, the minute they leave the plane, the minute they fall, they die. And now they fell into water, so even if they're on boat, most people that fall into water are in the middle of the big ocean are going to die. So you have two separate roves. First rove is most people that leave an airplane die. The second rove is that most people in the water are thrown into the water die. So these two roves together, says Ramosha, I'm willing to be so mechan.
I didn't see the movie about Sonnenberg.
Uh-huh, okay. Maybe it came out before his time. Is that possible? So, these are, I hope, was somewhat enlightening in terms of this closed area of halacha, which is a scary area of halacha, some which we don't learn about too frequently, we don't get involved, we leave it for the Gedolei Hador, but at least now we have an approach, we understand the approach they're trying to take. The approach they're trying to take is always to find two separate majorities, combine those two separate majorities, then you have enough of a circumstantial evidence that we're willing to tell the woman that she could go and get remarried. She doesn't have to remain in this tragic situation of being an aguna. Be'ezus Hashem, we should only know from happy things. We shouldn't. This should be shalacha, shalol lemaisa. We shouldn't know from such things. I wish you all a good Shabbos.